Hey, Mama, welcome to another episode of the Wholesome Mama Show. And I'm so excited to have Dr. Tom O'Brien with me on this episode. This interview was probably one of my favorite that I've had so far. Dr. Tom is full of so much wisdom when it comes to health, when it comes to healthy lifestyle, environmental toxins. So I know you're going to love this episode as much as I did. This is part one of a two-part series. So the full interview went for an hour and you can go and see it, the full interview in one sitting over on our face in the Facebook group, which I'll link in the show notes for you. But this, I wanted to for the podcast, because I know you're a busy mum. I know that you listen to this on the go. So I wanted to break it into two shorter episodes, still longer than normal, but the whole interview was too good to edit out bits and pieces. So I wanted to bring it to you. So this is the first half and you can join next week for part two, but let's get into the episode. Hey mama, do you want to balance maintaining your home, cooking, cleaning, all the things you have to do as a stay-at-home mum whilst being present with your family? Do you find yourself up late at night, scattered, thinking about all the things you didn't get done and so need to do tomorrow? Is your greatest desire for your littles to know and love Jesus? Hey, I'm Elise. When I became a mum, I felt overwhelmed and wished that I could just stay on top of everything. I wanted to be there for my family, and yet all these things still had to get done. I was worried that I would spend this time too busy and miss it, until I found the secret: partnering with God, even in our home life. In this podcast, you will find tactical tips for homemaking, help for your low-tox journey, as well as biblical parenting so that you will find God's joy and experience His peace in motherhood. Welcome to Wholesome Mama. It's time to go grab your cup of tea, reheat it, because you know, and let's get into today's episode. Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Wholesome Mama Show. And I am honored today. We have Dr. Tom O'Brien here with me, with us, ready to share his wisdom. And I know that you are going to get so much out of this conversation. So Dr. Tom O'Brien is an internationally recognized speaker, particularly focusing on food sensitivities, environmental toxins, and the development of autoimmune diseases. So if you're not hooked already, I know you're going to be. So Dr. Tom is considered a bit of a Sherlock Holmes for chronic disease and holds teaching faculty positions with the Institute for Functional Medicine and the National University of Health Sciences. He's also, in his spare time, written a couple of books. So You Can Fix Your Brain, which I have just ordered on Audible to get into that after looking in, and also The Autoimmune Fix. So Dr. Tom, welcome and thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thank you so much, Elise. It's a pleasure to be with you and with your group. It's such an important group to talk to. And I'll tell you that the audio for You Can Fix Your Brain, I did that myself.
Yes.
And I did the audio, and that's the first time I've done that, because with the first book, somebody else did it. And I said, no, he emphasizes the wrong things. and it was the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
It was eight hours a day for 4 days, conscious of every sentence. I can't be thinking about lunch. I have to be thinking about what I'm reading and saying, feeling what I'm saying. And I know I nailed it. I knew I nailed it when I finished the last sentence of the book and I looked up the sound engineer. I was in some recording studio in Berkeley, California. That's where they flew me for this. And, you know, you walk down the hall and there's the Rolling Stones and Little Richard and Stevie Wonder. You know, everybody had been in this recording studio. It was really quite cool. And I knew that I'd really nailed it when I looked up at the finish and the recording engineer, who was a 40-something year old guy, and he had tattoos coming out from his neck and hair, big bunch of hair, the tattoos coming up his chin and they're out on his arm, you know, kind of like a Harley guy. And I look up at him and he's crying.
Wow.
And I said, yes, got it. Turned out his son was diagnosed with attention deficit, had been on Ritalin for 3 years.
Wow.
And now he understood why his son had attention deficit. And he told me later he was crying for all of the stress that he's put his son through and for how grateful he is to now have the information.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I did the recording of that one.
Yeah.
And so I hope you enjoy it.
Yes, I'm so excited to get into it. And I really appreciate when authors do that, because sometimes you're listening to an author, and this isn't even what we're talking about, but you listen to a book and you're like, you're just not giving it the same oomph that I feel like I was with. So, well, thank you so much. I'm going to appreciate even more now. And we might even come back to the story about that sound guide. But I'd love to know, for you, what inspired you to focus on environmental toxins, food sensitivities, autoimmune diseases? Was there something that happened in your life or to you or someone you know that made you go, this is what I want to spend my life doing?
Well, my ex and I could not get pregnant. And I was about to go into my internship at the time. So this was 1979. I was still in school. We lived in married housing. And I called the 7 most famous holistic doctors I'd ever heard of. And I asked them, what do you do for infertility? And they all told me what they do. And because all the tests were negative, all the parts were working normally, but no result. They all told me what they do. We were pregnant in 6 weeks.
Wow.
My neighbors in married housing, we lived on campus. They had been through artificial insemination and spent over $50,000 and nothing had worked. They asked if I'd work with them. And I said, well, I don't really know what I'm doing, but you know, it's not going to hurt you. They were pregnant in 3 months.
Wow.
So now we're 4 months pregnant, happy as can be, telling all of our friends in Chicago. I went to school in Chicago. And our friends, their sister in Wisconsin, had 2 miscarriages in the last year and a half. And she said, can my sister come talk to you? Please, please. And I said, well, I don't really know, you know, what I'm doing, but okay, sure. She'd get pregnant and she had a healthy baby in delivery. So by the time I went out into practice, I'd been working with a number of couples already wanting to get pregnant. And, you know, there's not much in medicine that's all or every, but this was every. Every couple that was having any hormone related imbalances, whether it was premature ejaculation, fibrocystic breasts, recurrent miscarriages, polycystic ovary syndrome, it didn't matter. Every single couple had as a component of what was contributing to their problem, they were eating foods that they did not know were a problem for them, causing inflammation, because they weren't getting any gut pain when they ate the food. But now we know the science is really clear. For every one person that gets gut symptoms with a problem with wheat, for example, there are 8 people that don't. They get brain symptoms or reproductive system symptoms or kidney symptoms or liver symptoms or skin symptoms. They don't get gut symptoms. So they eat the food and they feel fine. But that night they, you know, they can't sleep very well. They're cold all the time. They can't wake up in the morning, wish they had 20 more minutes in bed, thyroid problem. They get thyroid symptoms from eating wheat, and it's not gut symptoms. So that was the first thing we learned. So when I came out in practice, every patient, I don't care, unless it was a traumatic injury, like fall off a bicycle or something, every other patient is checked for food sensitivities, every single one, without exception. Because you always find they're eating foods that they really shouldn't be eating.
Yeah.
That's what got me started in all of this.
Wow. I love that. Like, kind of just living life and accidentally fumbling, but it's almost like accidentally came across the answer, and now you get to help so many other couples and families and people to live a healthier whole life. So I love that. Let's dive into environmental toxins. That's kind of where I want to spend most of the time. And I know they all play a role in each other. Like, we'll get to nutrition later playing a role in the effects of environmental toxins. But what are some of the most common environmental toxins that affect our family's health today?
This will put it in perspective for you. Chicago, 2016, a paper was published, 326 pregnant women in the eighth month of pregnancy. They did urine tests on all of them, and they measured phthalates. Those are chemicals used to mold plastic. The one most people have heard of is BPA. That's the most common one. There are many others, but they looked at five phthalates, and they put the results into quartiles, the lowest amount, the next, the third, and the highest amount. They followed the offspring of those pregnancies for 7 years. And when the children turned 7 years old, the researchers reached back out and say, "Hi, how's Johnny? Hope he's great. Time to do that test now." And they did the Wechsler IQ test on them, the official IQ test. And once again, this is another one of those rare every, because not much is all or every, but this was every. Every child whose mother was in the highest category of phthalates in urine in pregnancy, compared to the children whose mothers are in the lowest quartile of phthalates in urine in pregnancy, every child in the highest category, their IQ was 7 points lower than these kids. 6.7 to 7.4 points lower. It doesn't mean anything to anyone until you understand a 1 point difference in IQ is noticeable. A 7 point difference is a difference between a child working really hard, getting straight A's in school, and a child working really hard, really working, getting straight C's. This child doesn't have a chance in hell of ever excelling in school. Now just go to Google and type in phthalates and neurogenesis, nerve cell growth, brain cell growth. Here come the studies. The higher the phthalates, the more inhibition of brain cell growth. So moms who are in the highest category of phthalates in urine and pregnancy, their baby's brains did not develop to its full potential. Healthy pregnancy, healthy delivery, what looks like a healthy baby, but their brains never developed to their full potential. That's what we're up against with women today, because women don't know how toxic they are. As an example, what are phthalates? Phthalates are chemicals used to mold plastic. Nail polish is full of phthalates. That's what makes the polish hard. And when you put nail polish on, the phthalates are in your bloodstream in 4 to 5 minutes. Now, there's no evidence that the amount of phthalates that leach out of nail polish into the bloodstream is toxic to humans. That's how they get away with this, because you have to show that that minute amount of phthalates that get into the bloodstream is toxic to humans. It's not. Absolutely not. But give me a five-year-old girl that paints her 10 little fingers and 10 little toes once a week for 25 years, and these chemicals accumulate inside the body. Now you've got a load. And during pregnancy, you do a urine test. How much phthalates do you have in your urine? And those in the highest category, their baby's brains don't develop to their potential. So it's not just nail polish, plastic storage containers in the kitchen. Throw them out today. Give them to your husband to store nails in the garage. Buy glass storage containers.
Yeah.
And in my book that you reference, You Can Fix Your Brain, I give you three URLs, MilesKimball.com, Amazon, and whatever the third one was. And you go look at glass storage containers. Oh, those are okay. Oh, I like those. So you order three round ones, two square ones, one for the pie. You pay with your credit card, hit send, you're done. Never again will you poison your family with minute amounts of toxins that accumulate in their tissue. Because the chicken you put in the refrigerator overnight, stored in a plastic storage container, the next day, the chicken's got phthalates in it from touching the plastic. The chemicals in the plastic leach into the food. And you just have to learn these things. I mean, I want to be as polite as I can, but I have to say to these parents, what's the matter with you? You buy toothpaste for your child that says right on the toothpaste, warning, do not swallow. If swallow, call National Poison Control Center. And that's what you're allowing your kid to put in your mouth, their mouths. What's the matter with you? It's because you think it's safe. The government is not protecting you. The chemical industry pays millions and millions a year in lobbying to protect the legislation they've had passed so that you are not protected. And the European Union, as an example, over 10,000 chemicals are banned from being brought into the country in any form whatsoever, any form. In the United States, it's 12. I have no idea what it is in Australia, you know, but the government is not protecting you from the toxins. If they make you sick quickly, you're protected. If they don't make you sick quickly, if they have to accumulate and over the years you develop problems, you're not protected. And we've got generations now of very sick people, very toxic, toxic people. Women of childbearing age, you need to do a test called the total toxic burden that looks to see how many petrochemicals are in your body. What about heavy metals? What about mold and mold metabolites? What about volatile organic compounds from nail polish or nail polish remover? Or, you know, when you pump gas, petrol into your car, if you can smell the gas, you're smelling benzene. Benzene is a neurotoxin. It causes cancer. Well, but I have to pump gas. You know, I have to put gas in my car. Yes, but you're downwind when you smell it. Walk around to the other side of the hose. Now you're upwind and you don't smell it. You just have to start thinking about the little things. You just have to have a strong defense by having a good offense that gives you a strong defense to protect you and your family.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you said, it's definitely the accumulation. Like you can go, it's just a little bit. Yeah, it's just a little bit in nail polish, and it's just a little bit in your skincare, and it's just a little bit in your body wash, and it's just a little bit in your makeup, and it's just a little bit. And all these little bits add up, and we are, you know, living in a world where it's consume, consume, consume. Like, oh, you have to, you should have your nails done. You should wear makeup. You should do all these things.
Yes, yes, yes. But you use phthalate-free nail polish. You go to my book and there's three companies right there that offer phthalate-free, and it's not hard to find.
Yeah.
And you need glass storage containers, and you need house plants to absorb the toxins in the air from your furniture. You know, the nightstand next to the bed, if it's not solid wood, it's press board. Press board is soaked in formaldehyde before they build the cabinet. And the formaldehyde outgasses into the air for years. And your kids are smelling this. You're smelling that. You can't smell it, but you're inhaling it. And it accumulates in your body, causing more inflammation and more inflammation and more inflammation. And so you get houseplants. NASA did the studies to show that 2 6-inch houseplants in a 10 by 10 room absorbs over 74% of the toxins in the air.
Wow.
And so if you have 8 rooms in your house, you get 16 houseplants, and you put 2 in each room and let them grow. And you say, oh, I don't have a green thumb, they'll die. Then you buy more. But you get an air filtration system when you can afford it, because as you start to learn about the indoor air pollution is worse than outdoor air pollution in most areas of the world.
Yeah.
And so you learn, how do you create a home that is your sanctuary? It's your temple. How do you create a home when people come in and say, oh, it's really, you have a nice home. And they don't know what it is. You know, it looks nice and it's not trashed by 5 kids leaving everything everywhere. Maybe, you know, maybe, maybe not. But the energy of the home. You know, I had the privilege of interviewing Fran Drescher for this event I'm doing, The Nanny.
Yeah.
And it's such a great interview. When you register for our free event, you get to watch the entire interview with Fran right away. What we're doing is a docuseries, which means 6 minutes of this scientist, 4 minutes of this one, 9 minutes of this one. But Fran's interview, I'm giving you the whole interview because it was so empowering. You know, she's a 24-year survivor of uterine cancer. And she said, I asked my oncologist, who's my very good friend now, she saved my life. I asked my oncologist, why did this happen? And she said, I don't know, it just does. And Fran said, I didn't want to believe that. So I decided to use my fame, not to raise money for cancer research, but to raise money for cancer education and how to prevent cancer. So she founded Cancer Schmancer, and she hosts events a couple times a year. She has a great website, and she talks about the environmental toxins that cause cancer. And she said, you know, you need to make your home your sanctuary. Get rid of the dishwashing detergent you're using in your dishwasher, because it causes carcinogenic fumes in the air. No one should be around when the dishwasher's going. You only turn it on at night when everybody's in bed. Why? Because it's not airtight. And that hot water with those chemicals in the dishwashing detergents create these carcinogenic gases. And it's minute amounts. It's never enough to harm anybody. But these gases accumulate. And what you breathe in, whether you smell it or not, you know, there's five different types of Alzheimer's, and 60 to 65% of all Alzheimer's is called inhalation Alzheimer's. It's what you're breathing, and you can't tell when you're breathing it, right? But the flame retardant chemicals on the sofa that was poured on the sofa or on your carpet, or the stain resistant chemicals in your clothing, they outgas for years. You wash them 30 times. They still have chemicals in them that outgas. You just can't smell it. And it's minute amounts. Well, there's no evidence that the amount of stain removing chemicals that are in your clothing are toxic to humans. That's how they get away with all this, right? Mm-hmm. So you want to create your home as a sanctuary. So Fran talks about that and how important it is. And about, you know, she says, use up what you've got, you know, don't throw it out. You know, we want to be aware of our finances. She said, but the toothpaste, throw it out, you know, because it's poison, right? And then she starts her laugh. Ah, she does her laugh. It's just so much fun to watch. And I said to Fran, I said, you know, Fran, you're the only other person I know other than me. And she said, uh-oh. And I said, you're the only person I know. When we rang the doorbell in your home, your beautiful home, your staff welcomed us in. And before we come in, we had to put those little hospital blue booties on our shoes. And she started laughing. And she said, yes, you know, my neighbor sprays his lawn with weed killer. And then he waters his lawn. The sprinklers water the lawn. So some water is now on the sidewalk. You walk on the sidewalk, and now your shoes have weed killer on them. You come into my house and you walk on the carpet. Now my carpet has weed killer, and my little doggies are walking around. They get weed killer. My dog is not going to get cancer. You're going to wear the little blue booties. They start laughing. And you know, that's what you have to do to protect yourself and protect your family. If you have infants around, nobody wears shoes in the house because the infants are crawling, right? So you want impeccably clean floors. And so you don't wear shoes in the house. That's why the Japanese have you take your shoes off before you walk in the house. And I have little disposable paper slippers that people can put on if they don't want to put blue booties on their shoes, right? But you make some accommodations to protect yourself and your family. And it's all those little things that accumulatively will protect you over time.
Yeah. And I think that's the most important thing, is that it's the little things that you can do. It's not like, yes, there are big drastic things like saving up for a full air filtration system, or like there's big things, getting a full water filtration system in your house. That's currently one we're saving up for. We've got a benchtop one and shower filters, but
But that's how you do it, you know.
But it's the Fran, steps, right?
Right, it's the steps. Fran asked me, he said, Dr. Tom, you went to my guest bathroom before we started. I said, yes. She said, how did you get there? And I looked at her, and I looked over at the, and then I knew what she was doing. She had this sparkle in her eye. She said, how did you get there? I said, well, Fran, I took one step at a time. She said, exactly. That's how you deal with all of this, is one step at a time. Just one step, one little thing at a time. So you start with a countertop water filtration unit, if that's what you can afford. And then when you save your dollars, then you'll be able to get maybe an under the sink water filtration unit that's a little more comprehensive. And then eventually you'll be able to get a whole house water filtration system. And you've got the chlorine filters on your shower, you know, and you notice, like some friends were here yesterday, the chief maintenance person for this community that I live in, of 44 homes, and we're in the jungle in Costa Rica. We live in the jungle, and there's no town for 18 miles here. And he came in, and we were talking about something, and I said, what would you like to drink? He said, just some water, thank you. So I got some water for me to drink. So I go, whoa. This is good water. Well, this is very good water. And it's got a whole home water filtration system and then another under the sink water filtration system. You know, so you do the best that you can, but you take the baby steps to always improve a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to make sure that mums who are listening to this, particularly who are maybe at the beginning of this journey, because, you know, I'm 6 years in now to unlearning a lot of what I was taught and relearning, which I think that this is what it is. But for the mums who are at the beginning of that to go, it's just taking one step at a time, learning, being okay to learn and okay to go, you know what, I've done the best with what I knew, but now that I know more and I'm learning more, I'm now going to change one thing. What's one thing that I can change in my house today?
You know, that is so critically important, Elise, so critically important. And you may not know, because you've ordered the audio of my book, you don't have the book in front of you. The subtitle of the book's called You Can Fix Your Brain. But the subtitle is The Secret to Success. Just 1 hour a week to the best memory, productivity, and sleep you've ever had. You tell your family, look, every Tuesday night after dinner or every Sunday after services, whenever it is, don't bother me. I'm going to spend an hour learning a little more about how to be healthy. Mm-hmm. And in that hour, you're going to go back and you're going to watch the interview that Elise did with somebody that you made a note, I want to watch this again. And or you're going to go to my book and you're going to look for phthalate-free nail polish companies. And you're going to order some phthalate-free nail polish. And you go online and you see different colors, you know, with a different company. Say, oh, I like that one. Or for glass storage containers. And you go and you order glass. Oh, those are great. I like that. Looks nice. And you order three round ones and two square ones and one for the pie. And you pay with your credit card. You hit send. It took an hour. You're done for the week. Yeah. But never again will you poison your family unknowingly with plastic storage containers.
Yeah.
And then next week you do the nail polish. And then the following week you get the handout on houseplants, which houseplants to get. And then the next week you do one more thing. Everybody can do an hour a week. That you can do. Mm. And then 6 months from now, you go to church and you haven't seen these people. Whoa, what happened to you? You look like $1 million. What did you do? Well, actually, I got rid of my phthalate-containing nail polish. I got rid of the plastic storage containers, got glass storage containers. I have houseplants in every room of my house to absorb the toxins, the formaldehyde from the press board furniture that I have. And your friends just look at you, kind of turn their head like, what? 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 But you just did 1 hour a week, every week. And in 6 months, that's 26 hours of projects that you have completed that move your family more in the direction of lower environmental toxin exposure.
Yeah, I love it. And that's so doable. 1 hour a week. We can all find 1 hour a week and have that thought in 6 months' time. Where are we going to be? And I, like, it's funny, I look at photos of like me years and years ago, or even I found my wedding dress the other day and I put it on and it was way too big. And I like haven't really had drastic weight loss, but changing my lifestyle and inflammation particularly, which I know you could then talk for hours on, but it's not just like that I lost weight. It's that I'm fit, strong, actually healthy now. I don't live with chronic pain or symptoms. So my history is endometriosis. Yes. But I don't live with any symptoms anymore. I have been able to, by looking at my lifestyle and learning these things. And it's actually amazing how the little changes can affect the long term.
You know, I really want people to understand this concept, and it sounds kind of cutesy, but it really is how we're brainwashed. What's the name of the box in the bathroom on the wall?
The vanity? No.
A medicine cabinet, right? It's the medicine cabinet. We're trained from birth that when we have symptoms, take the medicine, put the symptoms into remission, forget about it.
Yeah.
That approach is so dangerous because you never address the problem that caused the symptoms.
Yeah.
And the result is the problem that caused the symptoms will manifest in other areas. It's called comorbidities. You will have something else show up in your brain, your liver, or your kidneys. So we've been, and of course, you always want symptom relief. Of course you do. But you can't stop. My goal is that we educate every mom, every single mom, on how to stand in their own shoes and say, why did I get these symptoms? Why did my son get diagnosed with attention deficit? Why does my daughter have asthma? And thank you for the inhaler so my daughter can breathe. That's really important. But she didn't have the problem because she has a deficiency of the inhaler.
Mm.
You know, it's okay to take the medicine when you need the medicine. You always take, I mean, don't be silly. You have high blood pressure. You take the medication. Don't be silly. But you also say to your doctor, you know, I'm going to start working on my lifestyle. So can you monitor me? Every patient that comes to me with high blood pressure medication, I tell them the same thing. You go back to your doctor, you call them and say, look, I'm going to be working on my food selections. I don't call it a diet. I'm going to be working on my food selections. I'm going to start exercising a little bit. And I'm hoping these things make me healthier so that my blood pressure comes down. Will you monitor my dosage of this blood pressure? Because I'm told as I get healthier, I could get dizzy when I stand up if I'm taking too much medication, because the medication is designed to bring my blood pressure down. But if it's starting to come down normally, naturally, I might need a little bit less medication. Will you monitor me, please? And every office will say, yes, of course, come in once a week. We'll check your blood pressure, you know, something like that. And if they say no, find a new doctor, you know. But so you want to take your medications, but you have to learn to explore where's it coming from.
Well, Mama, that was just part one. And let me tell you, part two is even better. And we're going to get really practical with things to help us live our best life. So I would love you, if you haven't reviewed the show yet, I would be honored if you would take a couple of minutes of your time. It's like 30 seconds. Go and leave a 5-star review and let me know how you are liking this interview with Dr. Tom. As I said, the full interview is over in our Facebook group. You can go join our Facebook group and watch it there. But have a beautiful day, and I will be with you next week for part two. Well, that wraps up another episode, and I pray that you were blessed by today's conversation and really got something out of it for you to take into your motherhood this week. If you did get something out of today's episode, please subscribe, leave a review so I know that you're loving the show. You can also come and chat on Instagram. The handle is @wholesomemama. And don't forget, we have a Facebook community too with mums just like you who are in the trenches of mothering littles. So come and join us over there as well. The link for everything is always in the show notes. Have a beautiful week, Mum. Be blessed, and I will be with you next week.